On the phone now, Steve Mace, who is Executive Director of Protect Private Property Rights in Michigan. Good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, Cheryl. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I wanted to get back in touch with you. We talked a week ago or so. There's something coming up all the time. The overall story is, of course, related to the smoking ban, the little over a year-old smoking ban in the state of Michigan. But for you and for the folks that you work with and represent, it's about private property rights of small business owners and basically neighborhood bars and mom-and-pop bars that are really struggling financially and having some real trouble in the economy with this smoking ban. Am I encapsulating that correctly?
That would be pretty much nail on the head right there, Cheryl.
Well, that's a good start for me anyway, Steve.
Right.
an article that popped up yesterday in the Detroit News is one of the reasons I wanted to get a hold of you, that it said Detroit casinos saw their revenues climb 2.7% in May. That was reported by the state, and continuing to grow their business as the economy improves. You weren't surprised by that number because the casinos are getting all the folks that can no longer smoke at mom and pop. Ours.
That's correct. It came as no surprise to us or to our members, especially in the southeast around Detroit Street casinos that are exempted under the Ron Davis law or the smoking ban. The casinos are have gone through moderate to drastic remodelings and revampings to cater more to the adult drinking crowd, as it were, is obviously is benefit to them. If you have people having a couple of drinks and they're going to get involved in gaming in the process, the bars particularly here in the southeast, if you're within a stone's throw of the casinos, you're finding that your patrons are heading there, just as they are in the southwest, heading to the state of Indiana, which just recently rejected a statewide smoking ban. Or in the mid to northern regions of the state where people are opting for tribal land casinos, which are exempted under state law. It came as no surprise whatsoever that that the casinos are seeing an increase. 2.7 may not seem like a staggering number in print, but we're not talking about dimes and nickels here or slot tokens. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. It's quite an increase, and What incenses a lot of our members, particularly the business owners, is we have a State Department, the Gaming Control Commission, citing an improving economy. And anytime these small business owners say, look, this smoking ban is killing my business, I've laid off employees, I've dropped 50% in revenues, then we have other State Departments or the pro-ban lobby themselves saying, oh, it's because we have a bad economy. Well, which is it? Do we have an improving economy, or do we have a declining economy or a bad economy? It's insulting.
Are they not understanding or don't want to, in your view, don't want to recognize the correlation there?
I think it's selective. They definitely want to have people turn away from the struggling little guy, and you know they're the sacrificial lambs, I guess, for lack of better terms, to this smoking ban initiative. We discussed it briefly last week where the commissioner of the lottery testified in a House Reform Committee that the lottery itself from bar club keno sales has lost over $80 million since the beginning of the ban. Are we supposed to just ignore that?
Well, yeah. And that was my question is how can that kind of a number be ignored, $80 million from bar club keno? We're not talking about casinos. We're talking about the keno machines in a neighborhood bar.
Right, bar club keno, and it's a game specifically sold in bars. There are variations of it in party stores and gas stations now, but that's called club keno to go, I believe.
Okay.
And the lottery keeps separate numbers on both. It's an indicator of what's happening to these small businesses, but we're supposed to just turn a blind eye to it. And really, at the end of the day, to be frank, if this were any other issue. But tobacco, some action would have already been taken. But the pro-ban lobby has gone to great lengths to demonize and dehumanize people who purchase and consume a legally sold product in this state. Am I an advocate for tobacco smoking? Absolutely not. Absolutely, unequivocally not. But it is a legally sold product in this state, and the use of it is tied into these small businesses who at one point had the right to determine and control their own business models and to allow or to not allow people to use that product on their property.
And go ahead. I guess my question is, what are you doing or what can folks do? I mean, it's law now. How are we working to? Are you working to repeal this, or what is the process now?
Well, we're trying to open the dialogue with the majority in the House and the Senate. There's no doubt that the majority of representatives in the House and the majority of senators in the Senate, did not support this law. The ones that were in office when it took effect, it's this tobacco boogeyman that really is the cloud over the head of lawmakers of taking action. But you know, I mean, money talks in Lansing. Everybody knows that. We're talking, you know, I just listened to a commercial before we were on the air about education cuts and this and that. $80 million is the starting point. That's mm-hmm. that's the initial price tag. So add on to that the small businesses that have closed, the jobs that have been lost. I don't know how much longer Lansing can possibly ignore this or not act on it.
Well, that is my thought. And Steve, we're running out of time. And I hate running out of time when I'm talking with you. The story isn't over, though. So I'll be talking to you again very soon, and we'll see where we are in the process of all of this. As always, Steve, thanks for your time and expertise.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.